Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, November 18th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Steve, Bob, Chris, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Today is going to be a news show, so we're going to start off with, let's start with Steve. You have some news for us, Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, so just quick Magic Kingdom news. We talked about it a little bit on one of the previous shows, but now they have cast member testing going on for Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. Similar to kind of a Kim Possible type game, or if you've been to Great Wolf Lodge, they used to have a game where you got a magic wand and you could go around and interact with different things. But the cool thing is it's based on trading cards. So you get some type of trading cards that have different magic spells depending on the card, and you have to find the different hiding places to defeat the different Disney villains. So they're just testing it now. And it looks like at least some of the interactions that I've seen photos of are kind of like hidden, you know, screens. So they're like animated films or something that plays during the thing. So I think they could easily switch that out and maybe, you know, come up with different trading cards or different spells on different cards or things that you could swap around and change it up each time. So hopefully that'll start for guests later this year or early 2012.
Neat. I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a different way to see the parks and experience them.
Yeah, and it's nice they've got Fantasyland going on and all these other big projects, but they still keep adding kind of little things that are fun to do for people that come frequently.
I still say that, like, the Kim Possible stuff, it's so much fun. And if this is similar, I'm sure it'll be better. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, and I wonder if, I'm also guessing that the cards must have some type of RFID chip, which also leads me to something else real quick while I'm thinking about it, is they just started testing new turnstiles over at Epcot. So they have the new turnstiles and the tickets with the RFID chips in them. And the one I saw a picture of is just like it doesn't have a gate or anything on it. It's just a big round kind of ball with a Mickey head symbol on it, and you hold your ticket up to it and it turns green, and then they let you walk past. And they have the finger scanner on it too as well.
Yeah, it's supposed to be much, much faster. And yeah, apparently they had it set up at Epcot the other day for testing, and you could take your ticket over to a table and they would put the little sticker on your ticket with the RFID chip, and then you could use this little entranceway. But yeah, so far they're saying that it moves much, much faster, which is great because the lines at the parks, you know,
sometimes you're putting that ticket in like 5, 6, 7 times to get it to actually read.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably easier on the cast members because, you know, now they don't have to deal with that. And, you know, when it is especially crowded during peak times of year or even, you know, certain days of the week tend to be more crowded than others, of course. So that'll probably cut down on lines there, too. So I like that. I think it's great that they're doing that.
Okay, good. Let's go to, well, Bob, why don't you just keep going?
Okay. So Disney was recognized with several awards recently from the Themed Entertainment Association. They received an award for Star Tours, which received recognition as the Outstanding Achievement in the Attraction Refresh category, which it shared with the Star Tours ride at Disneyland. The Magic Memories and You Nightly Projection Show received an award for Outstanding Achievement in the Show Spectacular category. And the technology for the Animator's Palette in the Disney Fantasy cruise ship, which sets sail next year, won an award as well for Outstanding Technology. Basically, the technology that's going to be in place there is that guests are going to be able to draw characters on placemats and then after dinner see their drawings animated alongside other Disney characters in Disney movies. So, very cool. I'm sure that's going to be exciting for anybody sailing on the Fantasy. And then lastly, Joe Rohde, who I think most people, you know, if you know anything about Disney, know who Joe Rohde is. The vice president with Walt Disney Imagineering. He received the Buzz Price Thea Award for a lifetime of distinguished achievements. He's been with Disney now for 30 years and was instrumental in bringing Animal Kingdom to life and most recently Olani, and he's been spotted lately walking around with James Cameron at Animal Kingdom just a few weeks ago. So I'm sure he's going to be heavily involved in the building of Avatar Land, too. So good for them.
Yeah, very cool. And well, the fantasy sounds like that'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, I thought what they did on the Disney Dream with Crush interacting with guests is neat, but I can understand that, you know, Crush can't talk to everybody, and maybe this is a good way of, you know, everybody can participate and, you know, draw characters and see their images come to life.
Yeah, and then I don't get interrupted by a turtle when I'm trying to eat my dessert.
Exactly.
Because that's just so rude.
Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time, right? I mean, I hate when I'm dining at my favorite establishment and, you know, a turtle interrupts me.
Okay, so as usual, my news story is weird and
off the beaten path.
Yes. So last week, a Peeping Tom was discovered in a bathroom in Epcot, and a lady and her child went in there. They were using the stall, and they looked up, and there was a guy looking down, and he ran out, and Disney security caught him right away, and it turns out it's a guy who had actually been banned from the parks previously, and he had a history of some assault on women, you know, like not, you know, like minor assault, and not that that's okay, and you know, some petty crimes. So he's basically a petty criminal, and so they caught him. And I think, you know, we've talked before about whether or not you should go into the bathroom with your opposite sex children, and you know, I still do that in some bathrooms with my 9-year-old son, and you know, it's kind of an iffy situation. You know, are those bathrooms safe? I think most of the time they are, but, you know, then every now and then you have something kind of scary happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was kind of an isolated incident. And
I think
and
it was, too.
Yeah, I don't think people need to panic, but
well, let me put it this way. I think it's an isolated incident, except when it happens to you, and then it's very, very scary.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, well, I guess I'd
be freaked out by that.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. No denying that. I'm not trying to make light. I just think, you know, people shouldn't think that this is like a regular occurrence, but I think it's important for people to
be aware.
Realize that, yeah, be aware of your surroundings and right. You know, Disney attracts all kinds of people. And yeah, I mean, sure, he had been trespassed from the parks before, but I mean, it's not like they have his picture up at the gates. So,
well,
you know,
and,
they're not going to,
you know. Right. I mean, those scanners actually don't scan your fingerprints anyway, right? There's no way that Disney could store all of those fingerprints, even
right.
If they could
no,
scan.
I think it has more to do with size or
shape, yeah.
Shape, something like that. So,
yeah, they're not. I think legally they're not allowed to do the fingerprinting.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it just like I was saying, that there's all kinds of people in the world, and you know, weirdos go on vacation too. Or, you know, to the parks too. And
yeah.
So, yeah, just be careful, be alert, but, you know, you don't have to, you know, have the mace
cancel.
At the ready. Right.
Right.
Honestly,
I've never felt unsafe in the parks. I don't feel unsafe in the parking lot, even at night by myself. But you do have to be careful. And especially as a woman, I think you have to be a little more alert. But it's a pretty safe place. And there's security everywhere.
Yeah, you know what surprised me about this is that I was thinking, well, the bathroom must have been, you know, in an out of the way area, because how did this guy manage to even walk into the ladies' bathroom and not
That's
be
a really
seen
good
by somebody?
Point.
But the bathroom actually, I mean, from the article I read, said it was over by Spaceship Earth.
Yep, that's what I read too.
Which is usually a pretty busy area. So I'm thinking, gosh, I wonder if this guy, you know, entered the park first thing in the morning, you know, there's not a lot of people around, and just sat and waited in there. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm glad, you know, he was caught. And like you said, there's a ton of security. There's also a lot of undercover security that you don't see.
Well, yeah. Maybe he could pass as a very ugly woman. Long hair.
He could have been wearing a dress.
He could have. I have no idea. But you never know, and you're not going to question someone. Hey, are you a woman? Should you be in here?
No,
but,
and I suppose
you know what? I've actually had that happen. I've actually had it happen that I walked into a bathroom and there was an exceptionally like unfeminine looking woman, and I've been like, whoa, sorry. And then it hit me that it was actually a lady. And I was like, oh, never mind.
And then you were really sorry.
Yes. But have you ever had that happen? Well, it's just me.
Well, and I suppose, you know, if he had walked into the restroom and there were women in there, he could have, you know, played it off as, oh, gosh, I'm terribly sorry, I wasn't paying attention, you know.
I did that at Cracker Barrel once. So. I just walked into the men's bathroom and the guys were like, whoa, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So. Well, you have a lot of bathroom stories.
Yeah, that's a few too many bathroom stories, Chris, for one show.
Sorry.
And people think I'm weird because I have the whole alien abduction thing.
You know, I think I've done it more than once, I'm sure. So, you know.
Well, so, yeah, but I mean, you're right. Be alert, be careful, but yeah, no need to cancel.
Lauren, it's your turn. You're up.
Okay. My story is Disney has announced the exotic driving experience at the Richard Petty driving experience. It's scheduled to open on January 16th, 2012. It's at the Speedway in Orlando. It's going to allow the guests to get behind the wheel of a Ferrari, an Audi, Lamborghini, Porsche, with other exotic cars being added down the road. Apparently, in the official release, the press release, there's going to be a special track created specifically for this experience. And it's going to feature like quick right-left turns with barriers and rumble strips, apparently. So the section replaces the front section, the front stretch of the oval when the supercars are on the track. For anybody who's interested, six laps is going to run. That's in the driver's seat, $199. And if you want to just do a ride along, it's going to be $99 for the same six laps.
Hmm. And so test track isn't enough. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can actually make reservations starting now. So.
Actually, I mean, where else, you know, when else are you going to be able to say you drove a Lamborghini?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But the price is always like...
Well, I drive mine around town all the time. It's not a big deal.
Right, yeah. See, I knew you were making a lot of sales. Now it's
very
confirmed.
Busy.
Yes, you're very busy with bookings.
Very busy.
You know.
It's just the price for me. I mean,
yeah.
It's too hard for me to spend $200 for...
Well, because it would be over so quick. That's, you know, I mean, because you figure a Lamborghini, you can probably get it up there, $140, $150.
Well, then right. The other problem is if it's got rumble strips, yeah, it sounds like it's more of a slightly slower course if it's curvy and rumble strips and all that. So, but it's still going to be, you know, what is it, like 10 minutes, 30 minutes with all the...
Well,
maybe
I'm sure
an
they
hour
have safety
the,
instructions
yeah.
and, you know.
Yeah, so but it might be... The whole experience might be an hour to 2 hours, I guess. But the driving part is going to be pretty short.
Yeah, I think if I was going to spend that much money, I'd want to do one of the behind-the-scenes tours or maybe one of, like, the new tour at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
Or you could go to Victoria and Albert's.
Yeah, and one of us could eat while the other one watches.
That would be me, Bob. You can take pictures and document it.
There you go. Yeah, and you could put it on the food blog. It's a win-win.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
If you're a car enthusiast, it would be cool. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then speaking about the food blog, why don't you talk about the food blog real quick, Chris?
Okay. So right now, a number of us are writing on a food blog called DisneyFoodReport.com, and we usually have about two articles a day. Sometimes we have three. Pretty current stuff, which we're trying to do news. It's all sort of new, so, you know, bear with us. But I think there's some good writing and some good restaurant reviews and commentary. So please check it out if you get a chance. DisneyFoodReport.com.
I have a story for Disneyland. They just opened up the e-ticket pool. This is their latest pool. It's got the e-ticket rating because it's going to be a superior pool over at the Disneyland Resort. They also have the Mickey Spa. Not too long ago, we had the D-ticket pool and the Mini Spa over by the monorail pool and slide. that is pretty cool. We saw that in person, and the slide is, it's just really neat. It's like a monorail, and you go down, but it puts you out into shallow water, so that's kind of like a kiddie splash area, and it's surrounded by chairs and the cabanas. We talked about this on another podcast, but the cabanas, I'm still kind of amazed at how reasonable they are. I don't remember the figures off the top of my head now, but they were right around $100 for a four-hour day. And it was like, now I'm just making things up, like $160 for an eight-hour day. So they were very reasonable, especially when you compare it to the prices that you're going to pay over at the Disney World water parks for a cabana. Or not, it's not even a cabana. It's a little patio area, but it's up and going, and it's going to be popular.
Yeah, the hotel looks very nice, too. The rooms are remodeled. They were working on the lobby when we were there last, and the pool area is really nice. There's kind of a tiki bar that's super, super popular over there that has some of the, I guess, artifacts and remnants of the Adventurers Club, so it's a really nice hangout.
Yep, they've got the new rooms. They've got the new fiber optic headboards. They tried to make it a bit green by doing some energy efficient touches. They've got the efficient windows, and they're going to be good rooms.
Yeah, that resort came out really, really nice. I mean, it was still under construction when I was out there in March, so it's nice to see that it's basically done. And I just can't get over the name of the Mickey Spa. I just picture, you know, Mickey, like, you know, massaging you with his
big old mitts.
Yeah, with his big old mitts. Yeah, that's, you know, but yeah, and I think the pool does look great. The slides look like a lot of fun, and unlike the real monorail, you know, the slide doesn't break down every few hours.
Ooh. Oh, go on.
You know, we went at...
But they do close the pool like 2 hours before
right,
bedtime.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
We went at dusk, and so we got to see it in the light. And then I remember there were so many lights around the monorail slide. It was really cool. It was a very neat effect. It was definitely captivating. So that was nice.
Yeah, no, the Disney hotels out there are very nice. I would agree.
Well, and they're so limited on land. I guess they have to do the best that they can with the space that they have. So the rooms get upgrades instead of expansions or new resorts. Mm-hmm. And for now, we'll see. And, you know, some lesser used areas get turned into pools and new tiki huts. And I have another reminder about our Mouse Chat cruise that we're doing in September of 2012. That will be September 20th, and it's a 3-night Bahamian cruise. Okay, we have some interior rooms. We have some ocean views and some ocean views with veranda. You can give any one of our Mouse Chatters a call if you'd like to get more information, get pricing, or if you wanted to actually book the cruise so you can have some fun with your Mouse Chatters. And I also wanted to point out that we're looking at price changes come Thanksgiving, actually a couple days before. So it would be smart if you wanted to lock in on the current pricing to give us a call before the prices go up.
Yeah, because what Disney does is we booked a block of rooms early, and then that expires, and then we have to book another block of rooms. And every time... you know, 3 months or so go by, as inventory goes down, Disney increases the rates. So if you book a room now, if you think you're going to go ahead and book now. And if something does come up, you can cancel without penalty. And Lisa, is it up to, is it 45 or 75 days?
75.
So up to 75 days before the sailing
prior
date.
Okay, very good. Okay, that wraps up news for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at iTunes or at mousechat.net. Send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Join us again next time on Mouse Chat.